Brought my lunch up here because it's going to be that long. How's everybody doing this morning? You're all doing good? Sounds like the youth had a good time. It's always exciting and encouraging to see, like when you can step out of your comfort zone and do things that you wouldn't do normally. You know, there's retirement homes around here, so I mean, there's probably a lot of old people that'd still be happy. Maybe you can make like a Friday night out of it. You just do that on your Friday nights. I mean, they like to play euchre, Shady Lawn, so Walnut Creek. Yeah, no, that's really good. I have one announcement. Our church here has supported Gnarly and Julio Mendez down in Nicaragua, but with some of the circumstances that are going on down in Nicaragua, they're actually moving up here to Dover. Kind of end of July is when they're planning to move, and there's a couple things that if you're willing, able as a church to chip in, help them out with. My wife just made a little list here, and I would say, Heather, you would be the contact person. If you want to help out, they could use some bikes for their kids. They have teenage kids. They could use some bikes. There's going to be a cleaning at their house on July 26th, and then they're going to move their stuff from storage to their house on the 27th. And obviously, they're coming with very little things. Most of the things they're leaving in Nicaragua, so I think they have two suitcases apiece. So they're basically getting transplanted back here into Ohio. So pray for the family as they transition and stuff. The school is still going to be running down there. Her brother Abner is going to be the school director. But what basically had happened, her name had got flagged by the Nicaraguan government. And it was just creating a lot of tension and problems there at the school because it was really no fault of her own. She got on the government blacklist, and it started creating a lot of tension down there. So they felt that maybe if she steps away for a year or two, it might kind of ease and we can get back to normal. So just pray for the Mendez family. For a text. I thought about this, Brian, after I was done. You're going through Hebrews, and I'm going into Hebrews for a text again, and I know you've covered this slightly, but Hebrews is one of those books of the Bible that just has so much. You could probably camp out in Hebrews for years and not come through with everything. But in our Sunday school class, Craig was teaching, and it was a class on milk versus meat. Milk versus meat, and it got me thinking. I just couldn't shake it. I was like, We talked about it in Sunday school. We had a great discussion in our Sunday school class. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to dig into that a little deeper, and I'm going to preach about that today. So my title is not going to go milk versus meat. It's going to be milk and meat, and you can find it in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11. And we're going to read 11 and 14. And when you're reading these verses, you can almost feel Paul's frustration. Like he is just frustrated because he's been writing this letter to the Hebrew church. This is a church that would have been primarily, they would have been like Jewish Christians. They'd have been practicing Jews, and they had converted to Christianity. And he was trying to get them to like, how can they grow in their faith? And I think it's one of those things as Christians, we after we get saved and after maybe even baptized, we kind of go through this period, and it happens over and over again where it's like we kind of hang out in this plateau where it's like it's kind of this, we just coast. We coast along. And what I want to try to do today is like, how do we take us from coasting or from going just like easing along, showing up at church, just kind of doing our thing, to actually growing in our faith, maturing as Christians? What does that look like? Oh, welcome back, Stephen Barb. Yes, we had church every Sunday you were gone. We did, right, guys? I mean, everybody can attest to that. Inside joke there. So last time Stephen Barb went on vacation, we didn't have church for two Sundays because the power was out. And it looked suspicious. The senior pastor leaves, and all of a sudden for two Sundays there's no church. I mean, come on. But yeah, we did have church every Sunday, right? I mean, we're all here. So, let's read this text in Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 11. And there's a little footnote in my Bible that says, warning against apostasy. And I'll maybe explain that a little bit as we go along. He goes, "About this we have much to say." And what he was referring to when he says about this, he was talking previously about Melchizedek and how Melchizedek was a type of Jesus Christ. So Paul's wanting to explain all this stuff to these Christians. He's like, he's all fired up. He wants to explain this stuff to these Christians. And he goes, "About this, I got all this stuff I want to tell you about it. And it's hard to explain because it's a little complicated. It's not easy stuff to just get. But since you have become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Let's pray. Dear God, as we come before you right now, we're studying your word. Through your Holy Spirit, we want the truth of this passage to be revealed to us. We are looking at this, and as Christians, our desire is to grow in our faith. We want to be more like you. We want to be more Christ-like. We want to love you more, dear God. And the writer Paul here gives us some steps. He gives us some admonition on how to do that. So as we look at this, dear God, just open people's hearts, open our ears so that we can listen and receive this. We ask this all in your name, amen. So I'm a little partial to this message because I kind of like milk. I grew up liking milk. My dad, now what this is for actually is if kids start crying in church, I got something for you. Okay, so, and if there's some adults that start crying, I got something else for you. It's different than this, though. When it comes to milk, milk is something that, as a human species, I think we're the only human species that drink milk throughout our life. All other ones quit at a certain stage. And I think that's why Paul was using this metaphor of milk, is because, you know, it's something that we can do throughout life. And milk is not necessarily, it's maybe a little bit negative in this verse here, but it's not necessarily a negative thing. Because if you look at, he said, "You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." So when you first become a Christian, there is some basic principles that you have to know. There are some basic things that you need. So one of the things, like I was kind of going through a checklist of some stuff, and I would say, you know, you have to come to the realization that you are a sinner. You know, you're a bad person. Whether you have felt like you've done a lot of bad things or not, everyone is born a sinner. And that's a basic principle. The other thing is there's a basic need for salvation. You need Jesus Christ. And then you need to repent. If you've committed sins, you need to repent of those, ask Jesus to forgive you. You need to have the believer's baptism. And there's just different progressions that are kind of basic principles of the Christian faith. And what Paul was saying here, he's like, you guys, I keep reminding you of these things over and over again, and you're not getting it. Like, you're okay hanging out with knowing that you're a sinner. Yeah, you got saved. There's things that are very important, but you're just continually hanging out there. And so he's implied, if you read, and Brian's done a great job going through Hebrews here, but he's kind of implied there's something deeper missing in your faith. There's things going on that you're missing. And if you read back through Hebrews, in Hebrews 2:1, he said, "Pay close attention to the message you've heard, lest you drift away." It's like, pay attention. Hebrews 3:1, he said, "Consider Jesus." 3:8, he says, "Don't harden your hearts like Israel did." Hebrews 3:12, he says, "Take care, lest you have an evil heart of unbelief." Hebrews 4:1, he says, "Fear, lest you fail to enter into God's rest." 4:14, he said, "Hold fast to the confession of your faith." So Paul was really concerned about the situation that was happening in the church of his day. And I feel, and not necessarily here, I'm not pointing fingers at you, I'm pointing fingers back at myself, but I know that in a church this size, there are people here that are just drifting along. Okay, you guys are stuck on milk, you're sucking on, you know, milk. That's what you're doing. You're stuck on that because it's easy. You know what I mean? Chewing on steak is a bit harder. It's a little harder to chew on steak. You know, like that's something that's a little bit harder to do. And I'm not promoting Stauffer's Salisbury steak. This is, I didn't want to ruin a good steak, okay? So for an object lesson. But it's harder to go eat meat. It's harder to dig into the scripture. That's a bit harder to do. It requires some more effort. Sucking on a bottle, that's pretty easy. That's why babies do it. That's why they suck on a bottle, because it's easy to do. It's something that they can do. So, you know, Paul's really frustrated here. He comes up and he actually, this is what he says. He goes, I have all this stuff that I want to explain to you. It's stuff that's bit, but you guys are dull of hearing. And dull of hearing is kind of interesting. Because it's not like that their ears had stopped working. You know, it wasn't a thing with their ears. The problem with dull of hearing is that their hearts had stopped. Like, they let it come in their ears. You ever heard the phrase, going in one ear and out the other? Ever heard that phrase before? You know, it goes in one ear and out the other. Like, you kind of look at kids sometimes, you know, when you're telling them to do something, you know, clean this and clean it this way, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and they clean it the way that they wanted to clean it, and yeah, that's the way it was. Paul's like, I want you to pay attention, and I want it to go deeper than just your ears. I want it to go to your heart. And so we have this dullness of hearing, and he says, God's will is that you grow and mature in Christ, and that's his actual plan for you. So I'm going to ask you two questions today. One of them, I think you should ask yourself this, is how do I grow in spiritual maturity? What is spiritual maturity and how do I grow in it? You know, like, what actually is this? You know, is it just, do I need to buckle down, read my Bible more? Like, what does that actually look like? And I think to grow in Christ, what we have to do is we have to declare war against spiritual laziness. One of the things that happens is we get spiritually lazy. We start just kind of coasting along. And the Hebrew church was sick. In fact, what they were close to doing is just abandoning their salvation and going back to Judaism, because you know what? It's easier to just follow a bunch of rules and regulations. It honestly is, because you know what? Then you can kind of gauge yourself and you say, like, well, as long as I'm doing this, this, and this, I'm doing good. As long as I'm, like, checkboxing, you know, marking off the list, as long as I'm following the rules, things are going good. And what happens is it doesn't get deeper into our hearts. We don't actually start to do it from the heart out. And that's the state that the Hebrew church was in. So let's look at this dullness. The word dull is literally translated as slow, sluggish, or lazy. And the author uses it only one other time in this letter. And when we look at this, you know, it's not this, he's saying, you know what, you guys are not actually hearing it, but you're not putting it into practice. The opposite of dullness, and we're going to look here, I want to skip over some things a little bit here, but what had happened is, he said, you're going to need milk, not, he said, you actually need milk to when you first become a Christian. So you're going to need this milk to start growing. Milk is actually good. For an infant, it's good, it's how you start growing. But for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. And you know, by now the Hebrews were supposed to be mature enough not to have that. So Paul's like, you know what, I'm kind of done explaining the basics. I want to go deeper with you. So one of the things that you start to do is you start to gauge a person's maturity, or you start to gauge. So let's say you have a kid and he's 12 years old, and if he's not eating, you know, solid food at this point, you're probably getting a little bit worried as a parent. You're going to be saying, okay, that's not right. So as a person matures in their faith, they start to grow. And one of the things I've kind of came up with this analogy because I like golf. And I got into golf when I was probably about 21 years old. I used to work on an assembly line. And there was an older gentleman. His name was Larry McNeamer. He worked with me, and he loved to golf. In fact, he'd come to work every day, and he'd tell me, you know, his golf round that he played and how fun it was. And I honestly, when this was back in the early 2000s, I was like, you know, golf's kind of for old people. You know, it's not that, it can't be that fun. But he'd keep telling me, and finally he convinced me to go along with him. And I basically went along because I was going to get to drive the golf cart. I was like, I'm going to drive the golf cart, I'll let him golf. And he was an old guy that just kind of, you know, didn't hit the ball far, but he hit it straight. He knew the game of golf really well. And it kind of intrigued me, and the more he talked about it, the more I was like, I'm going to go. So I went to, remember MC Sports in Worcester? They went out of business, but I went to MC Sports and they had a clearance because they were going out of business, and I bought a senior set of golf clubs. Now, I'm going to give you a hint here. Senior in golf clubs does not mean it's for just, you know, people that are past 18. It's actually for seniors because they're super flexible. So I was out there golfing. I had a wicked slice and then I had a wicked hook and it just went really bad. But what I did is I started to learn, and I had a really good teacher because Larry was, you know, he was all excited now that his assembly line mate was out. He's kind of into golf. And so I'm going to do something here. And once again, I'm a visual person, so we're gonna do some golfing. I'm going to see how good you guys are at catching a golf ball out there. Oh, you think I'm joking, right? What happens when you're golfing is if you would just tell somebody, you know, there's all different kinds of clubs, okay? There's I think like 13 or 14 clubs in your bag. And all these different clubs have a different purpose. Some of them are for chipping and pitching, some of them for driving. You have a putter once you're on the green. There's all these different things. Now, if I'm a person that has never golfed before and I'm just going to go out there and grab clubs, I have no clue what I'm doing. I need somebody to teach me. I need somebody to do it. So like you have a set of clubs and you see if you can catch out here, okay? Look at that. Really like that. Good job. But what happens is if I would just talk about golf, maybe I will go and I'm like, I just hang out with my friends and we talk about golf and I read books on golf and I do all this stuff, but I never actually go out golfing. Does it do me any good? Do you think I'm going to get better at golf? Probably not. Maybe, you know, like once a week, I'm going to get with a bunch of people and we have this book on the, you know, the golf Bible and we read through it and it tells us all this stuff about golf. It tells us like how to read greens. It tells us what clubs to use. It tells us all this stuff and we read that and then on Monday we don't do any golf and on Tuesday we don't do any golf and on Thursday we don't do any golf and Friday we don't. And then Sunday we get all fired back up because you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about golf again. We might even sing about golf. We're going to have these parody songs where we can sing about golf, you know, and get all excited again. And then Monday we don't go out and golf, and Tuesday we won't golf, and Wednesday we won't golf. You'd think I'm probably crazy at this point, right? What happens in a church when you have people that are stuck on milk, that are just drinking milk all the time, and they're not getting deeper into the meat? That's what they do. They can talk about the Bible. They can talk about Jesus. But they get so complacent, they get so easy, just like we don't want any more. We don't know what's out there. We don't want more of that. So I think it's really important that our spiritual senses have to be sharpened and we have to become spiritually mature people. And this is what the author of Hebrews is saying. The spiritual laziness of the Hebrew church, their lack of urgency to grow in Christ, had allowed them and kept them to be spiritual, made them spiritual babies. And this is what happens if you do it long enough. If you drink milk long enough, it is eventually the highway to apostasy. Eventually, you're just probably going to fall away. If you don't want to be Christian, if you don't want to be a Christian, the easiest thing is just simply do nothing. Because eventually, that will happen. You don't take your faith seriously. You don't know the word. Put it into practice. You don't repent of sin. You don't live a life for Christ. And you make no effort to grow in your faith. So I'm speaking here to believers who are complacent in their faith and who've been that for years. I'm not talking about someone who's just recently put their faith in Christ. I think there is a difference. There is that time that you have to go. So in Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, Paul actually gives us the antidote for dullness. He says, "We want each one of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." The opposite of dullness is diligence. Getting out there and doing it. Getting out there and putting it into practice. If you're not active, if you're lazy, you don't study the word, you haven't put your hope and faith in Christ, you will become a lazy Christian. So to grow in Christ, you must feed on his word. Hebrews 4:12 says, you know, he said, you need someone to teach you again the basics. So if you want kids to to grow up and be good and strong kids, like, you have to feed them. You start to introduce vegetables. You start introducing something more stable into their diet. And that's the same thing with Christians. So what is covered with milk? It's the basics. It's the ABC of Christianity. We talked about that. So the solid food in the life of the Christian is, it's not really new theology. It's not something that it's secretive. It's not something new that you're going to find out. It's actually just richer. It's digging in deeper. I'll give you an example of this. So basic milk would be the fact that Jesus died for our sins. Solid food would be that the author is wanting us to know how Jesus did that as a great high priest. What Brian was explaining in Hebrews, like how there was a type and shadow of that, who atoned for our sins once and for all, that we don't have to ever have that happen again. And these deeper truths, we're not going to get them, they're not going to really sink into us if we don't dig in deeper. So a lot of this sounds out. So actually what we need is theology, and theology is one of those words people like, okay, that sounds very academic. You know, what does actually that mean? And it literally means thinking about God. Theology means thinking about God. In an academic sense, it's the study of God. It's how to know God better. And our understanding of who God is and what he's done for us, that's basically what Christian theology is. God didn't give us the Bible primarily to tell us what to do. A lot of people think, they look at the Bible and says, well, the Bible's here just to tell us what to do. It's a book of rules, a book of lists, and stuff like that. But God actually gave us the Bible to explain more about who he is. That's what the Bible does, is it teaches us who God is. And so by knowing him and loving him more, it actually teaches us who he is. Sometimes we read the Bible and wondering, you know, does this even relevant for me today? Like, where is this? Where do I fit in? Especially when you're reading the Old Testament. Maybe you're going through Leviticus, Deuteronomy. I'm reading through Chronicles right now, and there's this king named Asa, and I was kind of reading his story, and one of the things that he had to do is he had to take his queen mother, it's actually his mother, she was the queen at the time, and he had to basically remove her from being queen. You want to talk about something that must have been pretty hard, you know? You talk about your mother, and she was the queen, she'd been ruling, and he had to take her, he had to remove her from being queen because she was doing things that were not right. She was worshiping idols, she had raised up this idol. And I was reading that, and I was like, am I willing in my Christian life to do hard things? Am I willing to take a stand even though it's like family, even though it's something that would be very personal? Even so, it might hurt someone's feelings. Am I willing to take a stand for my Christian faith and do things that are hard? And I pulled that out of something where I'm reading in 2 Chronicles, King Asa, you know, I was like, God had that right for me today of what that looked like. So we don't come to the Word for a checklist of being mature. And even if we had one, we wouldn't be able to fill it out anyways because we're powerless to obey God on our own. If you're trying to obey God just on your own, it's not going to work. God actually works inside of you to help you obey and trust in his word. And that's what good theology is. And actually, the more we know about God, the deeper our theology becomes. The more we know about him, we want to put off sinning. We want to know more about who Christ is. And we want to feed on God's truth. So we receive the word with faith instead of dull ears. It gives us a picture of how amazing, good, and gracious God really is. So when we listen with our heart and not just our ears, we understand who God is. 1 John 4:19 talks about loving God because he first loved us. And this is the key, and I don't want you to miss this. As our theology of God's great love grows, so does our love for him grow. And as our love for him grows, we actually want to obey him because the love for our sin starts to fade off. This is what spiritual maturity looks like. It's a work of God's grace and his love. And it's not because you know or try harder. It's because his love inside you starts to spawn that. So if you want to grow in Christ, the answer isn't trying to be a better Christian on your own strength. You know, you can try doing a lot of things on your own strength. It's not going to work. But if you want to grow in Christ, if you want to go in Christ, you actually have to grow in reading the word. And that's what I want to talk just a little bit about here. As a Christian, we must feed on God's word. And whether that's reading the Bible, listening to good podcasts, whether it's biblical preaching, good sermons, Maybe you have a friends and family group that you hang out with and you do Bible studies. I think that's all really important. Just like eating physical food is going to affect your body, eating spiritual food is going to make your body, spiritually you're going to grow as well. And there's two things that usually people come up with as excuses. One of is I don't have the time. The other one is I don't know how. Like I don't know how to do this. And I'm going to give you a couple things. Now, there is some technical skills to handling God's word correctly. One of them I found is if having a good commentary or having a study Bible. If you have a really good study Bible that kind of gives you some, helps you out with parallel passages, helps you understand maybe some words that you don't understand. Get into a Bible study group. And you don't have to have like your small group initiated. You don't have to, you know, you can get into a Bible study, just get a couple people together. In fact, I was here a couple times where there's a group of guys, I'm not sure actually who all they are, but they're meeting here and they're doing a Bible study. And I think that's really awesome because if you want to know God better, if you want to grow and mature in your faith, you have to study the Bible, and it's really good to do it with a group of friends. We have Sunday school where we discuss the Bible. Teachers study the lesson, present it. Even, you know, our smartphone goes with us everywhere. There's a lot of good apps that you can use. You know, the YouVersion Bible, there's the daily reading of God's Word. There's a lot of things that we can use to kind of stimulate that growth. The other thing is we have the secret sauce, and that's the Holy Spirit. He actually works within us and helps us study the Bible. John 14 tells us that the Holy Spirit will come and he'll reveal all things to you. So that's why I'd say you, when you're going to study the Bible, invite the Holy Spirit in. Invite him to help you study. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 2. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. A lot of people will read the Bible and say, you know, that's stupid. It doesn't make sense. Because they're reading it on a natural level. They are foolishness to him, nor can they know him because they are spiritually discerned. You know, if you have the Holy Spirit into you, he's going to help you understand the truths of the Scripture. The second obstacle we have is we don't have time. And I'm sympathetic to this. I know we all have super busy schedules. We are hammering things out every day. We have jobs, we have families, we have a lot of things going on. And, you know, some people, you know, some pastors hammer their people and say, you know, you have 24 hours in a day, you can fit it in. That can be true, but honestly, life is busy. It just is. That's why you have to have a conscious effort when you're going to spend some time in the Word. And sometimes, you know, it's like 10, 15 minutes a day. Sometimes you can do it, you know, think about it when you're traveling. A lot of people are driving to and from places. You can listen to the Word. I do a lot of listening to the Bible. And honestly, once I started listening to it, I get this sense almost when I don't listen to it that I miss it. It's starting to get to a point where if I miss my daily Bible reading, I actually feel like, feels weird. I'm like, you know what? I don't read the Bible today. So remember, the aim is feeding on God's Word and not just reading it. And the difference is slowing down enough to take in God's Word, pray over it, let that work through your heart. A lot of times we do have the time, we just need to find it and stop doing maybe something else and putting a lot of pressure on ourselves. Feed on the Word whenever and however you can. That's what I really strongly, and sometimes, you know, there's a lot of, even on social media, you can follow different social media groups that, there's one that has the verse of the day. And I find even just reading sometimes that is a really good step in growing in your maturity with Christ. So all of us are prone to spiritual laziness. All of us are struggling to get better. And that is true. But the danger is that if we give into that complacency, we're going to stop growing and we're going to regress in our spiritual faith. So immature believers, they're unskilled in the Word. They're hanging out in the milk when they should be eating the steak. So you have to ask yourself, where do you want to be? If we want to grow in Christ, we must make war against spiritual laziness. We have to make a war against that. And we have to feed on God's Word. I'm going to end with the reading in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. But it says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from a childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And this is where it talks about, like, that the scripture is so important. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So I want you to think about this next week. Are you happy and content drinking out of a bottle? Are you just with the basics of Christianity? Or do you want more? Do you want to go deeper into your faith? Do you want to learn more about who Jesus is? Do you want the Holy Spirit to be like producing not only a hunger and a desire, but actually producing fruit in you that other people are going to be able to see it and say, you know what, that person is maturing in their faith? Because it's going to become visible. You're not going to be just out, you know, talking about golf. You're actually going to be out playing it. You're not actually going to be out just talking about Jesus. You're going to be out there telling others about him and living it out in your life. That's what you need to do. You need to take it to that next level. And I think, you know, we want to be a church that's like that. It's the kind of church we want to be. Mature Christians, not ones that are just stuck on the basics. Let's stand for prayer. Dear God, I just want to come before you and thank you once again for your word and for the insights to us. We all have this desire to grow, to know you more. And as we understand who you are, dear God, and as we understand the magnitude of what you've done for us by giving your son as a sacrifice for us, it makes us want to love and serve you more. And if we just do it on a superficial level, dear God, we're never going to get deeper with you. So I just pray that this church here, pray for each individual person as they go from here, that they would have that hunger and desire, not just to listen with their ears, but also listen with their heart. And that they would take this and not just know it from a superficial level, but know it from the inside out. Dear God, you've given us an amazing gift. We have to receive it and use it. We just pray a blessing on the church. If there are people here that don't know you, dear God, work on their hearts. Your gift is free for everyone, and we just want that to, we don't want anyone to leave without knowing you. We ask this all in your name. Amen.